Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Weekly with Wheatley. I'm Brady Beaton, joined by Wayne State's head football coach, Tyrone Wheatley. Coach, thank you so much for coming out, and we'll have some football to talk about this time.
Well, good, and I'm still really amazed at how you – I can't even say it. What is it? Weekly with
– Weekly with Wheatley.
Yeah, I can't say it. So,
well, Coach, let's talk about the last two games. We had a road game, so we weren't here last week. I have a lot to catch up on. Let's start 2 weeks ago, the win at home against Missouri S&T, your first win as Wayne State's head coach. What went right in that game? What did you like to see in the first victory?
Well, what went right was the guys still played with the intensity that, you know, didn't slip off from Slippery Rock. They brought that into the game, and we had some big plays. You know, those runs, those 4 and 5 yard runs that we had in the first game now turned into big runs. You know, Marco having one. We had some really good runs, good big plays. Tavion, great catch, keeping his feet at the last moment, balance, and taking it into the end zone.
Felt like in that win you had guys from all facets of the game step up. Defense made some big plays. They were there early. Hey, then S&T scored 14 straight to tie it at 17. But once you got to that point, in winning time, you put it away, scored the next 14, and kept S&T at arm's length despite a late touchdown, still able to pull out the win. Had to have liked the response after giving up 14 unanswered.
Well, you know, we talk about this all the time. They practice as well. Mm-hmm. They're on scholarship. They lift weights. They do all the right things as well. But when you can get out front and, you know, and hold off their wave and their battery of onslaught of plays, now they're playing catch-up. And then you can steady call your plays, and now you're not trying to play from behind. And I think that's what happened with us in that game. Our guys stayed up. They stayed close. And they just were able to really just withstand the onslaught and holding off until the clock hit, you know, double zeros.
It was your first home game here at Tom Adams Field. What was the energy like? I thought the fans showed out in a pretty big way as the game started. You saw everyone coming in, and you looked down, and, well, the big old grandstands were pretty full. What was the energy like from the fans and on the field? Are you able to block it out, or were you able to feed off it and get that first win?
I block it out. But I felt it from the players. The players were able to feed off of it, and I felt that's what I felt. Mm. You know, but once I'm calling plays and once I'm in there and I'm on the ground, you know, it's just kind of just silent. It's almost like a player. You know, you don't really hear the crowd until you score the touchdown, and all of a sudden it just the crescendo, is, and then it comes into play. But when I'm in the game and when I'm going, I really don't really notice it. But the players, I could see it in the players. I could feel the energy in the players.
All right, so you got a nice win at home a couple weeks ago. Took one on the chin going down to UIndy. Let's talk about that for a little bit. I thought UIndy's a good team, and they showed it. Obviously a lot to correct, but when you looked at film, what did you see in your third game here at Wayne State?
Honestly, it wasn't a lot to correct. It was really just, once again, we talked about this. You and I have talked about this a little bit, competitive stamina. These guys have not played at that level of intensity, and so there's going to be a drop-off. There's going to be a fatigue point. I didn't realize it would be that early, but it was a fatigue point. UIndy is a good team. You know, I can't remember the coach's name before that, but he put that together in 6 years, and this guy's had a 4-year run at it, putting it together as well. So you're talking about a program that's had 10 years of solid stability of bringing guys in, getting their philosophy together, and putting it together. We talked about this as well.
Right.
What conference were they in?
GLVC.
They were in there.
They were in the GLIAC, now in the GLVC.
Right. They were in
the run started when they were a GLIAC team.
And the run started, and they had to build that team together to beat the teams in the GLIAC. And so the same philosophy, the same grit, the same toughness, and their competitive stamina is at an all-time high right now, which we want to get to. But when, going back to the original question was, we just got beat technically. Mm. The runs were there. All the plays was there. Everyone was there. And, you know, sometimes it's just always that one guy, right? If this one guy does this, then the play is a huge play. If this one guy just catches the ball, if this one guy, we were just always one guy away. But, however, we were still in the game.
When you talk about competitive stamina, as a coach, do you believe that's something that you can coach into a guy, that you can build up over time? Is that something that comes with winning, or is that, hey, you either have it or you don't?
It's a culmination of everything. Yes, you have to build that into them, but you also would like to recruit guys from great programs who already have that, that understand what it takes to win, right? That understands all the little things amount up to the one large moment. Mm. And then, like, if they don't have it, you have to coach it in them. And that sometimes that's a growing pain that they have to go through. And that process takes a little bit longer. But it's just all the little things of getting treatment after practice, making sure when the season is here, it's not a sacrifice, it's a commitment. I'm not giving up anything. It's just football season. Everything else has to kind of take a back seat to academics, studying football, and getting my body ready to play.
I think that's something that isn't really quantifiable, but everyone talks about it, learning how to win, finding that competitive stamina, and hopefully get a few more competitive games. And sometimes you need to eat a little humble pie and maybe after the win feeling yourselves a little. But getting back on track, you, Indy, there were some guys that played well. I thought the defense, especially in the first half, played well, kept the offense in it for a bit as they tried to figure some things out. What did you see? What were the positives you took away from the game down in Indianapolis?
Well, like you said, the defense is always good. They played great. They kept us in it. The other positive is once they understood, I mean, they've been the offense, once they understood that we just clean up a few things, we can come out. And we came out in that second half, and we put together a drive. Mm. You know, and that was good to see them just to come back and put that drive together. And once they recognized that they can play with anyone, they showed that they can. And that was positive.
With the road trip, is there any difference going on the road to a place like UND, an established program, a place that it's tough to go in there and win compared to having a team, and we'll talk about Truman later in the show, having them come to your place? Or how do you balance that as a coach, making sure there's not as much of a home field advantage when you go on the road?
Well, that goes back into the play of what we're talking about, learning how to win. Mm. It makes no difference where you play. Yeah, you always want to say protect your house, win at home. Mm-hmm. You must win at home. But those road wins are just as important, right? Because it goes back into taking care of your body, making sure you're getting your rest, sleeping, you're eating mm-hmm. proper foods. So when you go on those long bus rides and you go to that trip, you wake up, you refresh, you're ready to play. But to me, you know, getting your guys ready and getting them in the mindset of saying, I don't care if we play Monday and then we come back, we got to play on Saturday. I'm ready. We're right. Built for it. And it's just one of those deals where they just have to get in their heads that this is football. You're going to be sore. The only time you're 100% is at the beginning of the season. After that battery kind of drains. You know, and they have to understand how to play at that level. My 60% must be better than your 6%, whether I'm at home or I'm away.
Last thing on last week before we'll let you take a quick break and we'll bring on Coach DeMasi, but coming back on Sunday, it's never fun after a long bus ride, especially when you take a tough loss. How did the kids respond on Sunday, and how have they responded this week getting ready for another tough team in Truman State?
Well, they respond. I mean, right now I have their attention, which is good. And like I told you before, they're a good group of guys. You have their attention, right? They're always going to, and they want to be well. They want to do better, and they want to make the corrections. So I had their attention. Right now they have to just understand it deep down in themselves that it's truly on them in technique. Mm-hmm. You just can't go out and just run around and fly around. There has to be a controlled, you know, madness within what how they play. And so they were ready for it.
I think with the controlled part, week one, it was, hey, control it, don't take the penalties. Corrected that. Now it's control it and find that technique and start making the littler and littler adjustments that will get you those wins.
Yes. And so, like I said, and then week three, I think their competitive stamina was down. And they weren't able to play with that chip. They weren't able to play. But even still, they didn't play with the type of intensity I would have liked. But they still played hard.
Right.
And they came out and they fought. And like I said, we wasn't really out that game.
Well, Coach, anything else I missed on the last 2 weeks that you want to add before we give you a break?
No, I think you covered it all.
All right, Coach, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a minute. But we will step aside for the moment, and we will bring on Coach DeMasi in a couple minutes. All right, welcome back to Weekly with Wheatley. And, well, it's time for the assistant coach spotlight. And this time, this should be a fun one. I'm joined by offensive coordinator / associate head coach Russell DeMasi. Coach, thank you so much. Yes, give it up for Coach DeMasi. Coach, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Excited to be at Wayne State. It's an incredible atmosphere, and, you know, just looking forward to Saturday.
All right, let's talk about your background for a bit, because you've done a lot in a short amount of time. So played college football, you've coached college football, but it's mostly been pretty far away from Detroit. So let everyone know your background and how you got to the Motor City.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Savannah, Georgia. Was lucky enough to go to Georgia Southern and play a pretty good 1AA powerhouse. Used to be a powerhouse. Still, now they're up in Division One. Played there for Jeff Munkin and Chris Hatcher, who's now at Samford. But Coach Munkin really had a huge impact on me. You know, his discipline and how he treated the players and how he handled the players. You know, there wasn't a better players coach. And sometimes you don't realize that till after you're done playing. Mm-hmm. But, man, he did everything for us and taught us the right way to do things and how to handle ourselves and servant leadership. So it was an incredible experience playing at Georgia Southern. Right after Georgia Southern, I actually got my master's at Shorter University. And, you know, for down south, legendary coach Phil Jones, I mean, he'd been all over to the south, built the program up at Shorter, just was all about relationships and creating relationships with the players. And, you know, if you don't have relationships with them, it's going to be tough for them to play hard for you. So really instilled that in all of his coaches and all of us. It was an incredible experience. From there, I actually was lucky enough to get a job in my hometown in Savannah. In 2015, I became the quarterback coach, was moved to wide receivers for 3 years, so did 4 years there as assistant coach. One of the guys who coached me at Georgia Southern became the head coach, and I was fortunate enough for him to let me call the offense, so I was the offensive coordinator in 2019, went back to quarterbacks, was the coordinator there for 3 years, but only played two because of COVID, and you know, coach left. I was the interim head coach at Savannah State. And fortunately didn't get the job, but things happened for a reason. Went and did a year at high school in Savannah, had great experience, had some really talented players, worked with the legendary head coach in high school, Coach Stroud. And luckily enough, I had talked with Coach Wheatley one time before last year while he was at Morgan State, gave me a call out of the blue in February and asked me if I wanted to move north, and walked into the house and asked my wife if she's ready to move to Michigan. So here on there.
And that's a big ask to go from Georgia, especially when you've been used to the warm weather your whole life. You're asking me when it's going to start snowing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't give you a firm answer, but it's going to get cold rather quickly up here. But, again, let's keep on your background. One thing you were telling me about is when you played in some pretty big games. You were talking about going up to Fargo, North Dakota, and playing North Dakota State. Just talk about what some of that experience was like, because that's something I don't know if a lot of people around here understand just how crazy it is up there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Georgia Southern had an incredible history. The first 2 years there, we were 5-6, 6-5, so not up to the standard that, you know, Georgia Southern was used to. Made a coaching change. Coach Munkin came in. And it was really, you know, we build our offense around what Coach Munkin taught me, but we were 4-4 going into this first year, and, you know, it was still kind of that same, this isn't the Georgia Southern style. We ripped off 7 straight from there on out and made it to the quarterfinals 3 years straight. The semifinals. The last two were at North Dakota. And like you said, playing in big games, there's not a better atmosphere in FCS football than North Dakota State. I mean, you go in there, you can't think, it's so loud. They cut off the lights, they make you run out, and they boo you. I mean, it is one of the toughest atmospheres that I've ever been around. But in saying that, every year we played a big opponent. We played Georgia, we played Alabama, we played Florida and beat Florida, you know? So you go into those games, and at Georgia Southern, you expect to win every football game you play. And I think that has a lot to do with the type of mentality we're trying to bring to this team and instill that confidence in them that no matter who we step on the field against, you got the opportunity to win the football game if you play your best football. And I think our guys are starting to understand that. You know, like we said, we had a slow start last game at Indy, but in the second half, they started believing that they could compete with everybody, and you could see us starting to move the ball, scored a touchdown late. We just got to start that and put that together for 4 quarters, and I think our guys are really see that that's what we expect out of them.
So let's talk about just the offensive philosophy a little bit, because you know you've taken it from your playing days and you've started to put your own little spin on it, but I'd say it's a pretty complex offense. It's not one that you can show up and, hey, 3 weeks into it, you have it all down. Talk about the philosophies and maybe get a little nerdy with the X's and O's, because, you know, it's going to take a little time for everyone to really understand the intricacies of this offense.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, we try to hang our hat on 3 things. Number one is we try and win the turnover battle. We don't want to put the defense in bad situations. We want to make sure that, honestly, our goal is every game to have no turnovers. Through these first 3 games, only had 1 turnover, so our guys really take that to heart. We start every day with the ball security drill, and the offensive linemen are in that drill. So they don't touch the ball, but they're still practicing ball security. They understand how important it is for us to have the football to keep the defense off the field. Number two is we want to win the rushing battle. I've never been a part of any football team that has been successful that hasn't won the rushing battle or hasn't been dominant in the run game. And, you know, we've got that's what we came in here to. Our offensive line, tight ends, running backs are really the strength of our offense. You know, they're guys that have been here, have played before, and got a lot of experience, and we trust those guys a lot. Like I said, we got to get better with our fundamentals, but they can move people and they can handle people up front, and we're going to continue to hang our hat in the running game. And then third is win the time of possession battle. Like we talked about, keeping the defense off the field. With us, with winning the time of possession battle goes into third downs and winning third down. Unfortunately, last week we didn't do that. The first 2 weeks we did a great job. But it's about us staying on schedule, being in third and short, giving – really opening up the playbook, because once you get to third and five and six, five plus, that playbook shrinks down real tight. When we're in third and 1-4, we feel like we can do anything to the defense. Run, play action, screen, whatever we want. So those are the three things we really focus on in an offense. As far as what we do, we are an option-based offense, but that's not just to say we're reading the end and pitching off the next man. You know, we read different people on each different plays, on jets, on, you know, triples, even on RPOs. We have a key defender that we're not blocking that we trust the quarterback to read. And that's what makes this, I think, offense so special, is you don't have to block everybody. Mm. By not having to block everybody, you should gain an advantage in that plus one. And as our guys continue to get better at it and understand exactly who we're trying to target and who we're trying to pick on, I think we'll just continue to get better and better.
One thing that you did is, and some other coaches might balk at, is I know there's a lot of coaches that think, hey, pick a quarterback and run with it.
Yeah.
You jumped right in. Hey, we're going to use Eli. We're going to use Jaden. And you intermix them, and really depending week to week, some guys play more, some guys play less.
Definitely.
What was that thought process like? And when you're sitting in the your coach's office figuring out the game plan, why the two quarterback system, and what's your philosophy with that?
You know, quarterback's a unique position. And every other position in football, right, if you play well and you practice well, you get an opportunity to go in the game. A lot of backups play in football. That's not always the case at quarterback. I want to view my quarterback position as the same way. If a guy practices well and does what we ask him to do, he deserves a shot to play. And I truly believe that. And Eli and Jaden have both done, you know, a phenomenal job in practice, proving to me that when they go in, they can be an asset to the offense. As far as we choose who to play, you know, we usually start with one guy, get him two drives, and then put the other guy in for the third drive, and then we go with the hot hand. But honestly, they bring such a different skill set, and they both root for each other. And that's rare to see in a quarterback room, right? Because everybody wants to be the guy. But all these guys, no matter who's in the game, they want that person to play to the best of their ability. So I think for us, you know, it just gives the defense a little bit of a different look. But the bottom line is, if a quarterback goes down and he's been the only guy playing all year, how hard is it going to be for that backup to come in and be successful? Now we have two guys who've gotten reps. So if one guy goes down, we feel like that other guy should be ready to take the reins and really run with it.
All right, let's step off the football field. Being a guy from the South, Detroit's probably not a spot you ever thought you'd end up spending a lot of time in. How has the transition been like? Because for a long time, this has been a pretty tight-knit community, and Detroit usually helps their own, so you don't get guys coming up from Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. What's that transition been like for you, not just on the football field, but on a personal level?
You know, it's honestly just been, first of all, you know, I got lucky enough to come up here with my wife, and she let me pick a house. So, man, I was sweating when she came up here and saw it the first time. But we picked a great community in Gibraltar, about 25 minutes south of here, right near Rockwood. But we love it. You know, we're right on Lake Erie. I mean, it reminds us of Savannah. It reminds us of home, being around water. We feel like that's a great place to live and a great place for us to hopefully raise a family one day. But as far as the school, man, it's just been the support from everybody inside of the school. It's amazing to see what can happen when everybody is working towards the same goal. And, you know, we were talking with social media, man. The social media department here is unbelievable, getting everything going and putting stuff out there to make sure people understand when we're doing the podcast or when the game is or when they're what's going on at the tailgate. I mean, just the communication from everybody inside the athletic department showing you that they're supporting, you know, what you want to do is ultimately get your kids degrees and win championships. They're all on board. And that makes any place you work at easy to work at and easy to come into. So I'm grateful to be in such a place that supports football and supports us, you know, getting our kids degrees and hopefully, you know, getting GLIAC championships.
What's been one of the biggest differences? Because football in the South's a little different, and what's been, you know, maybe something you didn't expect from up here or something that you got used to down here that's maybe not as commonplace up here? What's been some of the biggest differences from being down in Georgia around there to now up here in Michigan?
You know, football is football, but the one thing I've been most impressed with is our guys' football knowledge. You know, down in the South, there's athletes running all over the field. Up here, it's the same deal. There's the same caliber of athlete. But what I've been impressed with, for us to make adjustments and these guys just soak it in. You don't normally have to tell our guys something twice and make an adjustment in scheme or, you know, creating something on the fly. I mean, to be honest with you, one of the touchdowns in Missouri S&T was a play we drew up on the sideline, hadn't practiced in 3 weeks. But as soon as we talked about it, the guys were right on it, right on cue, understood what we were asking of them, that it would work against the defense we were playing against, and executed. So I would definitely say, you know, the football IQ up here is a step above, you know, where I've been at. And that's really exciting because you can do a lot of different right. things when your players understand what you want out of them.
All right, Coach, that's about all I've got for you. Anything else you want to say to the Wayne State faithful, the people here at Woodbridge? Anything else, Coach?
No, we just always appreciate the support as a football program. It's great to see, and, you know, always look forward to Saturdays out of Tom Adams Field and look forward to a great atmosphere Saturday.
I lied. One more thing, because I had to ask you before he came on. Your last name is pronounced differently depending on where you are in the country. So in the South, it's Demasi, but up here, Demasi is what you get more of.
I get Demasi a lot up here. And funny enough, my dad's from New York. Growing up in New York, his nickname was Macy. So it's Demasi in New York. You know, it doesn't matter to me. As long as you guys want me here, I'll be happy with whatever you call me.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it, and good luck Saturday against Truman.
Yep, appreciate it, man.
That's Associate Head Coach Russell Demasi, Offensive Coordinator, and we'll have more with Weekly with Wheatley in a minute. All right, final segment time with Coach Tyrone Wheatley, previewing the upcoming game. Well, we're going to get comfortable here at Woodbridge, four straight home games in the next month. That's got to be really nice to know that you're going to have a lot of home cooking the next month and you're not going to have to worry about any long road trips for a while.
Yeah, sleeping on a bus, you know, Coach Demasi kind of got me ready for that. He comes on a bus with his Captain America blanket, his pillow. I mean, he's well prepared. So I have to get used to that. But, no, it'll be great to be in your own bed, you know, home crowd for four straight weeks. Lovely.
Is it just easier to prepare knowing you don't have any of the extra logistics to worry about that? Hey, going to our locker room, going to do our thing. We can control everything. And, again, always helps having the home crowd behind you.
Well, you know, you never really want to take the guys out of the norm, right? So you try and make everything what it is, right? That's the saying, it is what it is. So when you say, is it harder? Not really. It just kind of is in the flow. So you never want to say this is a stress because you're going out of town and staying home. So you just want to keep everything the same. But, no, I don't think it's a stress.
All right, let's talk about the opponent coming into Tom Adams Field, Truman State. Indy was picked to win the GLVC. Truman was picked to finish second. They're a pretty good team. They're coming off of a win over Saginaw Valley State in Missouri. So now they have to come up here. What can you tell the Warrior faithful about the Bulldogs and what they're going to bring to this game?
Well, like I said, they're a carbon copy of Indianapolis, right? They're a very tough team physically on the offensive side of the ball, gap scheme oriented. And as I told the guys in our system, gap scheme is an attitude play.
Right.
It's really not meant to gain yards, but after you start beating up some people head, the yard starts pouring in. They have a really good tight end who really should be playing guard, but he's a tight end. He's a really physical guy, does a great job of getting up in the hole and attacking linebackers. Defensively, they're kind of a dollar defense. They kind of give you some different looks, but they play it very well. They're very disciplined. They're going to fill their gaps, and they're going to be run fin oriented, and they're a very good, solid team, very, very solid team.
Well, the biggest thing, at least when I played Truman State, is they won't have any guys that you look at and you go, that dude, the superstar, he's amazing. They just don't make mistakes. You have to force the issue a little bit, but they're never going to shoot themselves in the foot.
Exactly right. And that's one of the things that happened to us last week. I don't think anyone on that team was physically dominating, you know, over us. But once again, we're still a team. Like, and as we talked about the mental fatigue, it's where all of a sudden these guys are starting to make their moves. We can't panic and say, oh, God, we just jump out of your technique and just start trying to do anything to make a play. You have to be able to stand that bend but don't break mentality and say, hey, we'll give up 2 and 3 yards, but we won't give up the big play. We'll go 3 and 4 yards and wait until that big play happens, but we have to move the chains. And so we can't kill ourselves. And I said this before, we can't be Christmas anymore. We can't give any more gifts. We got to be stingy and be Scrooge and not give any gifts.
I know it's a process getting a team to fully integrate into a new system, and one of the things I've noticed through the first three games is you might not have a lot of home run big highlight plays. Now, obviously, they happened. We saw it a couple weeks ago, but getting them okay with, hey, we're going to get 6 yards a pop. We're going to slowly move down the field and have a 12-play drive. And defensively, hey, we might not get a three and out with a couple of big sacks, but we'll bend, and then get the stop when we need to. How do you get a locker room of kids to buy into that mentality of, hey, it might not be number one on the highlight reel, it might not be the prettiest thing in the world, but it gets the job done?
Well, we talked about it in the beginning. We have to be process instead of outcome-oriented, mm-hmm. right? All they want to see is the outcome, but there's a process that goes into it. You know, you can't talk about winning until you understand how to win, and that's the whole process of getting them to understand that once those plays are hitting, they'll all of a sudden hit for big runs, but you have to stay on course. You cannot get to the point where you're getting bored with success. 2 or 3 yards is okay. You never go broke making a profit, you know? So that's the way we have to look at it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's hard to get through a young player's head at sometimes is sometimes you will get a good outcome, but you didn't do it the right way, and it's not a sustainable model. How do you get that through that? Hey, yeah, okay, on this play, you got some yards, it went well, but if we do this again or against a better team, we're going to get burned.
I call that the percentage ratio mistakes, right? So if you have 10 plays, you know, you get 2 of them right, you're 20%. That only works in baseball.
Right.
This isn't baseball.
Barely baseball.
Right, you know, this isn't baseball. So, but you have the, that's why we do technique. There are techniques. And so you want to get into that 50%, then 60%, then that 70% range of doing the thing right and not just saying, okay, listen, I made one play and it was a great play, but on the other 6 or 7, you know, you didn't do it what you were supposed to do. You made mental mistakes. But that's where we had to, like you say, getting them back into just saying, that's where we talk about mental toughness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to just do the monotony thing over and over and over and over again and not get bored with it.
Right.
Not get bored with it. Like we talk about investing, right? Taking 2 or 3 yards, 4 and 5 yards, making a profit. You don't go broke, but the investment isn't going fast enough. But, you know, you got in the stock market, I'll throw it all in, and he goes broke, right? So that's kind of the same mentality.
When you have a team coming in that doesn't make mistakes, that usually – well. When they're going well, they're not going to give you a pick six. They're not going to fumble inside their own 20. You're not going to get anything easy. What is the game plan any different? I mean, are you trying to, as Coach DeMasi likes to do, keep the ball, win the time of possession battle, and really just grind a game out? Or what would you say the overall game plan is for Truman State?
You don't move. You don't move off your game plan. Those type of teams are better for you, right? Because now you're going to be on schedule. You're going to stay on time. And then when you have a chance to get to those one-on-one matchups and the one-on-one moments, now it's up to the player. And you say, now here is the time for you to make the play, right? Here's the time for you to make the play. We're on schedule. We're here. But then at the same time, if you can end up playing a kick, it's always good, whether it be a punt or a field goal. And we have a really good field goal kick.
That you do. The special teams units have been pretty solid so far. When something does go wrong, because in football and in life things go wrong, no matter how well you game plan, how well you play, like you say, the other team's on scholarship too. They're coming here to get a win. Who do you look to stop the bleeding, to calm it down? Is it something you want someone in the sideline to, you know, give the big rallying speech, or just, all right, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, get ready, go back out there, and just make the play next time?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? You always need those verbal leaders, those people who pour into people, you know, the cheer squad. You need those guys. But then at the same time, that's why you practice, and that's why all of a sudden when those things start to happen, you lock in and you focus and you zero in on the task at hand and say, hey, listen, we knew this time was going to come. How do we respond, and how do we go attack them?
All right, Coach, it's beach day at Tom Adams Field. It's going to be hopefully another fun atmosphere if the crowd shows out like they did in week one. I know walking through the lot over by the Math Eye, it's always packed with people. What I mean, it's got to be nice. I know I talked a little bit about this in the first segment, but the game day atmosphere and having a big student section, hearing a band play and all those type of things have to add in, and getting it for 4 straight weeks is going to be a lot of fun. But is there any message you have for the fans out there? I know you want them to be loud, but anything you want to tell those that are going to be in attendance Saturday at 1?
No, I think that's the greatest thing about college football, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come back to college football. It's because you have the theme days and the all, you know, the whiteouts and the goldouts, whatever the case may be. But really, truly, the fans is what make the game. I mean, you could, you know, as a football coach and as a football player, we say it sometimes, we don't care. We're playing a parking lot, right? But when that crowd is rocking and everybody's there and you see the people, the smell of the popcorn and the atmosphere, like I said, it just charges those kids. It charges them and it makes them want to play harder. And then when you come out with a victory and you hear the crowd, I mean, it's incredible. This, when you look in the stands and you can point in the stands after a big play and the people are cheering for you, it's just like they talk about the 12th man. Mm. You become the Energizer Bunny. It's just so many things you do for us when you come to the game and you support us.
Final question for you. If Wayne State's going to have a good day, who are some names that Sean and I are going to be talking about, some names that might be pointing to the crowd if they're having a good day and you're having success?
Well, I mean, of course, you have to look at the guy who's, taking a snap. I think, Waddell, Eli will have a good day. So we'll have Kendall back, and then Marco. This guy's been having a terrific season up to this point. Tavion. We got to get the big fella going, Kavion. Mm-hmm. This team is kind of giving me his tongue, all these Kavions and Tavions. So Kavion, we got to get him going. And he's due for a big game. Defensively, Carl Ware, our defensive line has been doing a good job. Peaks, Dana Peaks. So those are a few names.
Well, it's good. Hopefully we get some of those guys that weren't there and weren't on the field in Indy back, because have some playmakers. Hopefully you get back as well for this game against Truman State, because there were some good guys that weren't on the field last week.
Oh, yeah. But that's why we always say next man up, and the coaches are doing a great job of developing those guys behind them.
All right, Coach, that's all I got for you. Any last words?
Last words. Let's go. Come out and support.
All right, that's head coach Tyrone Wheatley getting ready for Saturday's contest against Truman State. 1 o'clock kickoff at Tom Adams Field. Hope to see you all out there. As for myself, Brady Beaton, and head coach Tyrone Wheatley, thank you so much. And we'll see you next Wednesday with Weekly on Wheatley.